You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
Father, I thank you, Lord, that you would give us inspiration today, that you'd give us revelation. Father, that you would open up, Lord, our hearts, our spirit today, and just pour in what you want poured in. And Lord, let anything that's not like you, let it fall away. But God, let us walk out of here with a true revelation, with something that we can run with, like Habakkuk 2:2 says, to write down the vision, make it plain, so that it can be ran with. Let us write down something today. Not just on our paper, not just on our pen or in our phones, but God, in our heart, something that we can run with. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Well, we just want to just bless, and we're happy to have Apostle and Prophet back in the house with us today. It's always great to have them. And he's playing grandfather there in the back. And I'm always happy to have my sister here. Amen. You can give her a hand. She's awesome. There's a swelling. People wanted to clap, and they didn't know if they should commit to it. It's okay. It's okay to commit. It's okay. It's all right to honor people. I don't know about you, but I've just been at this place where I've really been wanting to draw close to God, draw closer to God. Is that anybody's heart cry right now? It's been kind of a reoccurring theme in my prayers that God, pull me a little closer. Take me a little deeper into what you have for me, what you're doing. And so it was in that spirit that I wanted to talk, because it doesn't matter where you are, but you can always have a little more of him, a little bit more understanding, a little bit more grace. Anybody want that? And I don't know where we are if we're not growing closer to God. If we're not getting closer to him, I don't know if we're really maturing as believers. And so this is such an important part of our faith as Christians. I don't know about you, but, you know, I think about sometimes the people that we have in our life that we know them, but we don't know them. You know, it's one of those casual, like, hey, how you doing? Good morning. Looking good today. But we don't, we wouldn't trust them with our children or let them have the keys to our car. You know, we don't know them. And I think about sometimes, you know, how much are we pressing into God to kind of peel back that next layer of relationship with him? Because relationship is really about intimacy. It's about knowing, you know, what makes somebody tick, or what makes somebody happy, or what makes somebody sad, or what is the purpose that makes somebody want to get up out of bed in the morning. That's what it really means to have relationship. And I believe God would want us to have that type of fellowship, that type of dynamic with our relationship with him, that it's not just like hi and goodbye, and it's not just like that person that you see in the grocery store or that neighbor that you don't really know. But there's a level of intimacy. And so the Spirit brought me to this passage of Scripture this week, James 4:8. And in the King James Version, it says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Or if you like a little newer translation, New Living Translation says, come close to God, and God will come close to you. Will you say that with me? Come close. And that's what I want to speak to you about today, is a sermon titled, Come Close. And you can find this passage of Scripture in James 4:8. But I encourage you, if you've never really studied the book of James, it's so great. 5 chapters, it's not really long, but it's super powerful. And it just helps to solidify your faith. And a lot of the great scriptures that we quote come from James. So I challenge you that if you have never studied the book of James. But say it with me real quick, come close. You know, from the beginning, that's what God wanted with us. He wanted us to come close to him, and he wanted to come close to us. Genesis 1:26 says, then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. Because God wanted family. God wanted relationship. God wanted fellowship. And so he said, let us make man and let us make him like us so that we can hang out together, so that we can have. And then it says in the Word of God that he would visit man in the cool of the day. So every day he would come down and he would visit man, and he would visit Adam and Eve, and he would spend time with them because he wanted relationship. Turn to somebody and say relationship. Then Genesis 17, God makes a covenant relationship with Abraham. Say it with me again, relationship. Come close. You know, and when somebody's really in your life, somebody's really close to you, you think about them a lot. Like when you're in love, or when you have kids, or when you have that person that you really like to hang out with, you think about them a lot. And David kind of grabbed a hold of this concept in Psalm 1, 1 and 2. And this is one of my favorite scriptures. It's one of the first ones that I committed to memory. But it says, "Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night." Meditating on the Word of God. Not just a casual read. Not just a casual reciting. Not just a casual listening. But to meditate on the Word of God day and night. You see, as a king, David understood that the whole nation would get off course if he didn't be intimately acquainted with the Word of God. So he had to meditate on it day and night. And he's saying, this is what we should be doing, is meditating on it day and night. To become our destiny in Christ, we have to be thoroughly saturated in his word and his ways. So the psalmist says, meditate. The devil didn't come up with meditation, just in case you didn't know. New Agers didn't come up with meditation. Actually, God came up with meditation, but he had actually a specific idea in mind. He wanted us to meditate on his word. And there's a huge difference on the output that you get depending on what you are meditating on. Because we can fill our head up with a lot of different stuff. We can spend our mind on worry. We can take a lot of time contemplating problems or sitcom plots, amen, or relational drama. Or we can meditate on his word. See, the world only has it half right, you know, because what happens with the world is they get a concept and it gets watered down. This is the secular view of meditation. It says the word meditate carries different meanings in different contexts. Meditation has been practiced since antiquity as a component of numerous religious traditions and beliefs. Meditation often involves an internal effort to self-regulate the mind in some way. Can I tell you what Romans 12 says? He says, don't be conformed to the ways of the world. Don't drift, but rather be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. Well, how do we renew the mind? We need to meditate. It needs to be a continuous thing where we're in the Word and not just reading the Word, but I'm spending time just thinking about this Scripture. What does this Scripture mean? What are the ramifications of this Scripture? What type of promise could God give me out of this Scripture? I'm beginning to allow my mind to run with this Scripture. And I'm meditating on it. The Bible says that that he will keep in perfect peace those that keep their minds stayed. You know, a lot of people, for them, meditation, they say it promotes relaxation or builds internal energy. Can I tell you something? It says, or life force. The greatest life force that you can have in your life is the Holy Spirit. You know, anything else is just going to fall short. The Holy Spirit keeps us in perfect peace when we keep focused on that. When we begin to meditate on the Holy Spirit and on the Word of God. Oftentimes meditation is used to clear the mind and ease many health concerns. Can I tell you, that's the wrong approach to meditation. Instead of clearing our mind, we should be putting something into our minds called the Word of God. And as we begin to meditate on the Word of God, check this out. This is what it says in Proverbs 4:20. It says, "My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them." Turn to someone and say, "Don't lose sight of them." "Let them penetrate deep into your heart. But that doesn't sound like a casual reading to me, does it? For they bring, listen, life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. So what does that tell you? That means that if I continue to meditate on the Word of God, guess what's going to happen? It's going to promote healing in my body. It's going to promote health in my mind. There is no way to continue to fill yourself up with the words of life and not experience life. There's no way to continue to fill yourself up with the words of life and not experience life. It will eventually cause you to experience the life. It will begin to overflow. It will begin to take over. You had some bad things, you had some circumstance, you had some problems, but then the Word of God begins to take over as you begin to meditate. His promises begin to overshadow every challenge. And so there's life. There's life in these pages. There's spiritual life, there's physical life, there's mental health. It's all in the Word of God. This is the medicine. Turn to somebody and say, this is the medicine. And as we become full of the Word, we become more like Christ, because it's said in the Word that He's the living Word. So if I want to become like Christ, I need to become what? More acquainted with the Word. So much so even that I become the Word. Because only when I start to become the Word do I become like Christ. Because Christ was so filled up with the Word. His expression was the Word. When he was on the Mount of Temptation and he came across the battle with the devil, what did he fight with? He fought with the Word. And so if we want to be like Christ, we have to get the Word in our system. There's an old song that says, read your Bible and pray every day, right? But if we want to become like Christ, we need that in our life. If you want to draw close to him, read his Word. Somebody say, read his Word. If you want to know the mind of God, read his Word. If you want to know the commands of God, read his Word. If you want to know the methods of God, say it with me, read his Word. If you want to know the promises of God, read his Word. If you want to know the history of God, read his Word. If you want to know the heart of God, no, wrong, worship. If you want to know the heart of God, worship. If you want to know the mind of God, read his Word. But if you want to know the heart of God, worship. I'm sorry, I had to trick you there a little bit. Because worship takes us to this intimate place. It's so relational. David tells us it's this type of close fellowship with God. That's where it's at. I want to read you Psalm 100, and it says, shout to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is good. He made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever. And his faithfulness continues to each generation. Are you ready for the participation part? Everybody stand up. This is the participation part. This is the part that you get to get excited and participate in the Word of God. Because David was a king. When he said stuff, it wasn't like a suggestion. When he said, shout to the Lord, all the earth, it was a command. He said, shout to the Lord. And there's a place that I want to just challenge. I love this place because I get to challenge the quiet worshipers. Amen. And so I'm going to challenge you that there's a place for shouting, and we have to get out of our heads sometimes and shout. Because worship isn't a practice of intellectualism. It's a practice of realizing he knows more. How many know that all innovation comes from God? All revelation comes from God. All creativity comes from God. Your next business breakthrough isn't going to come from your mind. It's going to come from your praise. Come on, I need somebody to get stirred up right now. Because if you realize that God wants to get you out of your head so he can put something into your head. A new idea. a breakthrough idea, a breakthrough thing, but we got to get out of our head and shout. We got to enter into that praise type of environment. So I'm going to give you an opportunity on the count of three. First, are you ready? Because we can't do this halfway. I said, first, are you ready? On the count of three, we're going to shout. We're going to shout because we know that our victory comes from Him. Our breakthrough, our innovation comes from Him. Our revelation comes from Him. Come on the count of three, we're going to shout. One, two, three. Hallelujah! Come on, one more time. Can you shout? One, two, three. Shout! Hallelujah! Your breakthrough is in your praise. Your breakthrough is in your shout. Come on, one more time. Let me hear you shout. Let your voice raise up. One, two, three. All right. All right. You can sit down now. You can sit down now. That was the participation part. Then David goes on and says, come before Him with singing. Somebody say, come close. If we want to come close to Him, we need to come before Him with singing joyfully, is what David said. But we don't even know if David could actually sing good. We don't know that for sure. We just know he was a great warrior. We know he was a great king. We know he was a great musician. But he could have been like Kirk Franklin. We don't know. The notes could have been a little, you know. But David didn't care about that. David said, come before the Lord, sing. If you want to know how to be a person after God's heart, close to God's heart, come before Him, sing. I kind of like that. Come before Him, sing. And turn to somebody and say, come before Him, singing. I don't think David even cared if anybody else around him knew how to sing well either. He said, come before the Lord, singing. I'm telling you, that's what we're going to do. And I'm sure when David was singing the praise and he's dancing down with the Ark of the Covenant, bringing it back to the city, he didn't care if you sounded good. What was important to him is that we were coming close, coming before the Lord with singing. Amen. And then he says, enter His gates with thanksgiving, go into His courts with praise. Somebody say, come close.
Come close.
Somebody say, thank you.
Thank you.
You see, when we learn how to say thank you, when we learn how to be thankful, we get close to God. When we learn how to be thankful, in the morning we say, there's an old song that we used to sing. It said, thank you, Lord. And that's what I want to be able to say in the morning. Thank you, Lord. And in the night, thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. And in the midst of my problems, I want to say, He's been so good. I know I'm frustrated right now, but I can still say, He's been so good. Regardless of my circumstance, He's been so good. And when I'm frustrated about things that are going on in my life, I can still say, I just want to thank you, Lord. Come on, can somebody just thank Him right now? Can somebody just thank Him right now? Can somebody just thank Him right now? I want to tell you, it's going to benefit you to thank the Lord. Yeah, yeah. Because if I can worship, I get close to Him. If I get close to Him, my circumstances change. My thought process begins to change. My level of authority begins to change. My level of understanding begins to change as I come close. Somebody say, come close.
Come close.
But you define your relationship with Him. You define it. I define my relationship with Him. You define your relationship with Him. He makes Himself available, but we define our relationship with Him. God is not defining it. Turn to somebody and say, you choose.
You choose.
You choose. Deuteronomy 30:15. Listen to this. Listen to this. Because we have to understand that You know, we can be on this level, we can be on this level, we can be on this level. Come on, believers, even among Christians, we can be on different levels because we choose the type of relationship we want to have with him. Deuteronomy 30:15 says, now listen, today I'm giving you a choice. Somebody say choice. Between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. For I command you this day to love the Lord your God and to keep his commands, decrees, and regulations by walking in his ways. If you do this, you will live and multiply, and the Lord God will bless you and the land you are about to enter and occupy. But, somebody say but. If your heart turns away and you refuse to listen, if you're drawn away to serve and worship other gods, can I tell you, other gods can look different these days. They can look like a hobby. Another god can look like a relationship. It can look like money. Gods can look like a lot of things. If you're drawn away serving other gods, then I warn you that you will certainly be destroyed. God didn't say, I will destroy you. He said, the worship of those things will destroy you. He's saying, if you stay close to me, you're going to prosper. Look at somebody and say, live long and prosper. That's your Star Trek thing for today, right? Live long and prosper. God's saying, if you stay close to me, I'm going to take care of you. But if you get out there and you're serving and you're worshiping other things, it's going to cause devastation. You will not live long a good life in the land you are crossing the Jordan to occupy. Today I've given you a choice. Somebody say it loud. Choice.
Choice.
Between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call upon heaven and earth to witness the choice. Somebody say it real loud. Choice.
Choice.
The choice that you make. Oh, that you would choose life and that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice. Come on, one more time. Say it loud. Choice.
Choice.
By loving the Lord your God and obeying him and committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. Somebody say key.
Key.
This is the key to your life. And if you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God's given you a promise. He's given you a land. But you see, it isn't going to work without him. If we don't draw close to him, we don't have that key to life. We can end up in destruction. God's saying, come close. Come close and get some of this life. Out there, without me, it's frustration, destruction. There's death, there's confusion. But if you draw close, I have life. Say it with me, come a little closer. God wants us to experience more life, more relationship with him. Don't get too busy to have relationship. Don't get too busy to grow in your relationship with him. That's what happens too often. We get too busy. Stuff gets in the way. Stuff gets on our calendar, and calendar gets so full that we're no longer drawing close. We're kind of maintaining. We're kind of getting casual. Hey, good morning. How you doing? There's no, we don't know him like we used to. We don't know him like we could know him. Will you stand with me today? That's the cry of my heart, is that we would know him more. That we would come close. I want a little more. Does anybody here want a little more? I don't care what you got. I don't care what you came in here with. Do you want a little more of God? I can't tell you so often I pray that prayer. God, give me more. God, give me more. But just lift your hands with me. Just lift your hands and say, God, give me more. God, give me a little more. God, take me deeper in that relationship with you.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.